Revenue Chat episode 108. The Dream Business community wants to help you with your career and business. Are you ready for accelerated success? Check it out. The Dream Business community at tonyduroso.com/community. Get the Revenue Chat mobile app for your Android or iPhone. It's free. Download from your cell phone or smart device at tonyduroso.com/mobile.
This is Revenue Chat Radio with your host, Tony D'Urso, interviewing successful entrepreneurs and giving you actionable advice and insights. Let's rev it up.
Hello again and welcome to this episode of Revenue Chat. I'm your host, Tony D'Urso. In our last episode 107, Cloris Kylie gave such a great talk on how you, yes you, can create a digital training program that sells because you are an expert on something and people would love to know that. Pay attention to this interview and get more ideas on how you can create and sell your own digital training program. It's great. On this episode, we have Brian McMahon. He's the CEO of Expert Dojo, a Silicon Beach-based peak performance center who gives entrepreneurs what they need, success coaching, advice, and specialist help in all areas of their business growth. They have a patented 12-step accelerator program that gives businesses the edge they need. Brian tells us how to build a real business from the ground up. His website is expertdojo.com. All right, Revenue Crew, let's rev it up. Get ready for Brian to tell us how to build a real business from the ground up. Here we go. Hello, Brian. How are you?
I am excellent, thank you. Excellent.
Well, great. You know, I'm so glad to have you on this show. You're quite the consummate expert in helping entrepreneurs not only get started, but really create a very successful business at that. So I want to say thanks for taking the time to hang out with us on Revenue Chat.
Yeah, it's a real pleasure, actually. You know, I'll tell you something really funny. I was up in Canada only 2 weeks ago. I walked into the customs, and I'm used to coming in and out of American customs all the time, just going in and out to different countries. And I walked into Canadian customs, and they said to me, "What do you do?" And I said, "Well, we work with entrepreneurs all day, every day, and our only role in life is helping them become more successful." And they said, "Oh, that's really cool. What are you doing here?" I said, "Well, we're going to open a place in Canada." And the guy stopped, and he looked at me, and he said, "Mr. McMahon, on behalf of the Canadian government, I want to thank you for doing what you do for Canadian entrepreneurs." I swear to God, I thought there was a candid camera right on the back of me. because only in Canada can somebody thank you for helping entrepreneurs for being a coach, right?
Well, I love that, Brian. Thanks for sharing that. And I love Canada. Such a beautiful country. And I'm going to make note as well. I'm going to make note as well to push a little bit more into Canada as well. You're right. We have to help everyone.
We just opened an office in Canada. I mean, that's what we were talking to them about. We opened it, and it was the first office we opened outside Los Angeles. And we opened it there because number one, they're just really nice people, right? When have you ever met a not nice Canadian? So it's a good way to start the day. Number two, they have a phenomenal business culture up there. And number three, they are amazingly acceptant of the areas where they struggle in, and knowledgeable about the areas that they're really good in. They're just a wonderful race of people to work with.
Well, awesome. Yeah, I was wondering about that because I saw the Canadian address on your website, which I want to mention a little bit more in just a moment. But very cool. That's in Vancouver, is it?
Yeah.
Excellent, excellent. Well, all right. Now, before we jump in a little bit, at first, you know, I mentioned a little bit about you in the intro, and perhaps you'd like to fill us in a little more on your roots and how you became an expert in your field. Brian, how did it all start for you?
Oh, it was many, many, many years ago. I've pretty much been an entrepreneur all my life. I've had three or four different businesses. I have lived in approximately 40 different countries over the last 25 years. And I've had a privileged life because I set out to have a privileged life. And that doesn't mean it was an easy life. It was a life that I just wanted to make sure was filled with creation. And creation for me involved going to different countries and cultures and enjoying those places. But just as importantly, creating something in the world that didn't exist before. And it doesn't really matter what that thing is, as long as it's something that's not bad. So whether it's that you're creating a new app for a certain whatever, or whether it's you're doing a new business, which is on the ground with a retail shop in a local street. So I did that. I had my first business in the UK, which was a property development company, had a big consultancy, which we then had in multiple countries around the world, then had a technology company where we helped people find space all over the world. We hit about 60 countries on that. And after all those countries, and I've given you kind of 20 years in 20 seconds, but I realized a few things. I realized, firstly, that entrepreneurship it's not just one of the best things you can do. It's a really important thing to do to feel that you've really made an impression on this world in a positive way. Secondly, it moved from when I started it as being an important thing to do in the world to something which has become vital. Because it's not even about creation anymore. If you have a standard job working for a normal company and you live in America, the chances of you being able to afford all of the expenses that you need to pay after the age of 65 diminish every single year. And this has got nothing to do with politics or who's in or what rhetoric they use. This has got to do with the simple fact of how much everything costs and how much a normal person in employment gets paid. So by being an entrepreneur, you get to control that dynamic. So it was what makes it so incredibly powerful when you actually can have your own business and you can control your own destiny to a certain extent. And just the people that you're surrounded by are also pretty amazing as well.
Well, very cool. You know, and I'm going to comment and ask some questions about what you've just said, but that is quite a career that you've had. No wonder you're so good at helping entrepreneurs start up. You've been so successful in so many fields. Now, just before I jump into a few questions, you know, I've been all over your site, and I just want to read off some sections for our Revenue Crew audience so they have an idea of the breadth, the depth of what this is all about. The main page at expertdojo.com shows how thorough they are. For example, they have section chat with experts, investment introduction, online courses, management plan, media producer, peak performance centers, and international reach. It's got everything from A to Z in there. It's very thorough and very complete.
Yeah, everything for us is about helping entrepreneurs succeed. The reason why we started Expert Dojo originally, and the reason why we have all of this content on the site on trying to find investment and trying to get into international markets and the information that you need within your education and entrepreneurship is because the failure rate is so high. And that failure rate is around 98% within early stage startup. And it's especially within the technology sector. But it means that of every 100 startups that begin, 98 of those will not be alive in 3 to 5 years' time. Now, here's my problem with that statistic. Nobody would take on a single activity anywhere with a 98% chance of failing. I would not go into a bar with a 98% chance of not getting a drink. I wouldn't stand up in front of another guy and get into a fight with a 98% chance of losing. It's just not a good statistic. It's not a good average or a probability to go into business with. So I wanted to understand why that was the case, why we had such high failure rates, why nobody was talking about it, why everybody was just focusing on the one or two successes that were out there as opposed to focusing on actually fixing the problem, which is the real problem, which is why is Middle America not succeeding at a high level and why are only the one or two elites getting to the space that everybody else deserves to get to. And we found a few foundational reasons. We found that education was lacking, which seems obvious, but if it's so obvious, why aren't we fixing it across the country? We realized that coaching was really important for entrepreneurs, to have really strong exited entrepreneurs to help them. That we realized that protection was really important for entrepreneurs, not to get taken advantage of by providers of services in an area that they're not particularly strong on. We realized that showcasing their product was a really big problem, and really access to institutional investors was a really big problem as well. So we created this space on top of the mall in Santa Monica, and now we're in our second year here and have about 100 companies come through our cohort every single quarter.
That's incredible. And I've seen some of the successes and events on your site. Very incredible. Now I'd like to just jump in. There's some things I'd like to know more about and get your point of view on. First of all, Brian, we have people listening in our Revenue Crew audience, and they have jobs, they have careers. There are entrepreneurs and startups, but those with jobs and a good career, they may say, why start a business myself? Now, you've mentioned a little bit about it, but maybe we could drill down a little bit more into why should they do that?
Firstly, it's very important to understand that anything which is going to make a big difference in anyone's life is not easy. So all of those websites that those people go to that promise to make you a millionaire in a weekend, or promise to turn your money into instantly double and triple it by starting your own business, those people are lying. And it's not the way it works. So as with anything, you should expect it to be a long and difficult journey that has got no guarantees at the end of it. I've explained why I think it's really important to start your own business, because you have to take control of your own life. I mean, if we were told when we were 5 years old, here's what's going to happen. You, for the rest of your life, are going to walk into an arbitrary place that you are told to be at a certain time every day. And you will not be allowed to leave until a certain time every single evening. And you will be given just enough money that you can pay for the massive expenses that you have every single month, but not enough money to ever, ever escape out of that corporate prison that you've put yourself into. And you're not going to do that for a year or 5 years or 10 years or 15 years, but actually these days, you're probably going to do it for about 45 to 50 years. You would probably say, even as a five-year-old, well, shucks, Dad, that doesn't sound like too much fun. And that's what the corporate life has turned into on many levels. And yes, some people do succeed, and a lot of people will say, but Brian, you know, I've raised a wonderful family and I've got amazing things at home that we've built. And that's okay. That shouldn't be to the detriment. Nothing that we do in our lives should be to the detriment of building, you know, what we can look at and say that we're really proud of, which for most of us is our families. But why should we live a life of slavery? I mean, you could argue it's the modern form of slavery. By being in a place where we're treated like five-year-olds for our entire lives, saying yes and no to people because we know the right answers that we're supposed to say after a certain while. And then when we get to the end of the journey, we say, oh my goodness, how great, we made it. So I think it's I don't want to paint a terrible picture on corporations. There are some people it's right for. And entrepreneurship is not right for everyone. But what I do think is right for everyone is to search for our own creation, what it is that we're really good at. And for some of us, that's going to be a hobby for our whole lives, whatever it is, and that's okay. But for others of us, and those of us who search a little bit deeper, it can become not only a hobby, but a hobby that we make more money from that we can from actually going through the usual corporate slavery ladder.
Very good. You know, I don't think I've ever heard it said so eloquently before and so detailed. Very cool. I'm speechless.
But it's okay.
It's so true. It's so right on. It's the prison. Some people, they may make some good money and do well, but I've been in some very good paying jobs, very good. And I think it was two or three, I have to count, I think it's three times the business sold or went out of business, but sold and merged and you're out of a job. It can happen just like that. The last job I had, I think I came in on a Friday and they were bought and sold and okay, bye everybody. It was just like that. So it can happen. All right, Brian, very interesting on all these points. Let's kind of take this apart a little bit. What would you say are some of the fundamentals of a great business?
Firstly, you have three fundamentals, which I always put in place in exactly the same straight line success matrix. Every company either fails or succeeds based on the people, the process, or the product. Now, The wonderful thing about market validation is that whenever you work out your concept, your great idea, which is going to change the world, you can then go out to enough people and say, hey, this is my great idea. Do you think it's a great idea? They say yes. You say, hey, this idea for this great new screwdriver is going to cost $3, which is better than every other thing on the market because of X, Y, and Z. And they say, my God, it's right. It's true. It's a phenomenal product. And then you say, great, give me $3. And that way you know if you have the perfect value proposition, the perfect product fit. Now, let's say they don't say yes. Let's say they say, oh, no, I told you it was a great idea, but I didn't mean I was going to buy it. I actually can't buy it yet because the sun's not shining strongly enough and it's a Tuesday and I don't buy screwdrivers and I need to go home. Now you know you got a problem and you got one of those three problems. It's either A, the people. Is it me? Is it the trust in me? Is it the way I pitch the product? Is it the way I have portrayed the product? Is it me? And that goes all the way across the board, by the way, because we don't always get to be interacting directly one-on-one. So all of the individual people in the team, are those people contributing to the success of the team or not contributing? And I can go into that a little bit deeper later on about how you can actually measure that. Number two goes into the process. So when I brought that screwdriver out, or when I brought that app out, or when I explained the concept of what they were going to benefit, how easy was the process through the channel that they were going to find me? So if it's an online business, was it simple for them to be able to buy the product, or did they need to go through so many hoops that it's impossible for them to go through that beautiful user experience? If they're seeing me face to face, exactly the same. Or is it the product itself? Maybe my screwdriver is $3, but maybe the handle is just not a great handle. And even though it's a better screwdriver and it's probably a better product offering, the handle is so lousy that nobody's going to buy it because they just can't get past it. So always look at those three areas. When you're doing market validation and you're trying to find out if you have got the best product on the market, the best solution on the market, or the best service on the market, make sure that you're really pushing way beyond your mom and your dad and your cousin and your Uncle Jimmy and all of your friends. Make sure that you're not asking people based on questionnaires. Make sure you are right in the middle of the place where your user, your best potential user, can actually buy that product, and then make sure you're asking that user for their specific opinion as to why they would buy it and when they will buy it. And then that puts you in a really strong space to work out if you've got a good thing or not.
Those are excellent points, Brian. Very good. The Dream Business community wants to help you with your career and business. As you know, jobs can be fickle. Here today, gone tomorrow. And owning a business has its own frailties. Bloomberg says 8 out of 10 entrepreneurs fail in the first 18 months. A Harvard study says 3 out of every 4 venture-backed firms fail. And there's other sources with shocking figures of their own, which all point to one very conclusive point. These are scary times we live in. Let's help you in the Dream Business community. Yes, you. Let's try to give you the information you need now to boost your career or business. And I'll be there every step of the way, helping you along with other experts in many industries. Are you ready for accelerated success? Check it out, the Dream Business Community at tonydurso.com/community. That's tonydurso.com/community. Do you like the awesome interviews on Revenue Chat? Please help others discover these interviews on iTunes by giving a kind review if you like them. Go to tonydurso.com/iTunes and give a few sentences about what you liked. Let me know and I'll send you something to show my appreciation. That's tonydurso.com/iTunes. And thanks so much. And we're back with Brian McMahon talking about how to build a real business from the ground up. Now, financing is very tough, and sometimes there's the cart before the horse. You've got to have your product and you've got to build it in order to get more funds. But sometimes that's lacking. Now, what would you say? Do you have any suggestions on how can someone start with no money?
I have strong feelings about money. I believe that money is actually one of the major contributors to the massive failure rate that we have within startup in the US. I believe that when our parents and parents' parents were looking to start businesses, they started businesses because they had great value propositions, and those value propositions were directed by revenue earning or revenue generating activities because they had no choice. So if they were going to start a spaghetti restaurant or a restaurant with the best spaghetti meatballs anywhere in Chicago, they would say, look, here's the deal. We know 25 people are going to come in, but we know for us to pay the rent and everything that goes with the rent, we need 160 people to come in. So call your Auntie Jimmy, call her friends, bring those people. Let's make sure we guarantee 145 and then the rest will follow. What we do in many cases today is we get a very flimsy value proposition. Hey, I'm going to bring in the greatest new dating app, which is better than Match.com because you can go one extra degree into the contacts. Who cares? Like, who cares? And how do you know you're going to get enough users in there for people to be able to use the product? So I want to back firstly down to what I believe the biggest problem with institutional investment and getting institutional investment is that we have an over-reliance on it, that the institutional investors have become the rock stars of startup, and they should not be. They are merely the accountants that should give us the money when the money's deserved. So when you're starting a business, get real, work out if it's a decent business. If the people who know you won't give you any money for it, then why should somebody who doesn't know you? That's number one. Number two, money comes with a huge price. If you go to every single institutional investor anywhere in the United States and you ask them the following question, the answer will be our money. And the question is, what is the absolute last money that I should take when I'm starting a business? You follow me?
Absolutely. Yes.
Institutional investment is a terrible, awful, disastrous route for most companies to go down. Only 6.5% of all companies who receive institutional investment are in existence 3 years later. You will lose control of your company. You will lose control of your board. And if you are one of the 60% of founders who receive institutional investment who actually get fired from your own company, then you will also form that group as well. So normally I say to people at the beginning, grow some balls, start a business that you're going to be proud of. Make sure that you actually go out there and you do the work that's required to get the revenue in to grow a strong, sustainable business. And rather than being an idiot and believing that you can build a $1 billion business, build a strong $10 to $30 million business through sweat and tears. And when you get to that level, then you're at the place that you can say, now I want to scale my business and build it up. And then you bring in institutional investors, not in a toxic relationship, but in a place where they can get good return on their revenue and you have people who work for you.
Excellent. Excellent. Love it. Beautiful points. Very good on that. I totally agree, Brian. Now, we've got the financing, but what about the product itself? That was the third step on your fundamentals. You know, some people think, hey, I've got a good idea, but it's not like super great, but is it good enough? So how well that product is that very important in this for someone who's got an idea that they think can fly? What would your advice be for that?
Validate, validate, validate. We believe in three really strong areas within the products, which are the opposite to lean startup, which we don't like at all. The first one is validate as much as you possibly can at the beginning and validate with people with their wallets. If it's a paid product and you can build a prototype, which most of us can build with a 3D printer these days, then validate with people's wallets. See if your target audience will buy what you have. Secondly, build a brand around it. Give them a reason why they should be getting involved in your product in the first place. And then the third thing is make sure you have a really strong milestone business plan. And a milestone business plan is, you know, every single activity that you're going to do on a daily basis, which is going to turn into every single achievement that you hope to accomplish at the end. So we don't always know, by the way. Some of the products we build because we think that they're just going to be something that society needs terribly. And in many of those cases, society doesn't need them yet. We had a phenomenal founder who's a really well-known company here in Los Angeles. And we've had many people, actually, we've had some great people speak here, you know, founder of Priceline, founder of Pandora, just really wonderful people. But we had a chap in, Brent, who started a company called 2-Bit Circus. And he said, look, he started Pokemon Go 7 years ago, exactly the same, overlaying of a game environment onto the real environment. But it was the wrong time, and it was the wrong way to put it out. And it was just the wrong. It just wasn't right. So it may be we have the right product at the wrong time. And maybe we have the wrong product that nobody wants. It may be that we have something that's nice, but maybe it's just a vitamin and it's not a painkiller. So i.e., if I have a toothache, I need a painkiller. If I miss my vitamin today, I should have taken it, but I'll live tomorrow, right? And I may not even notice. So all of those fit in, but the only way you truly know is to take that product to market in its most basic form, and then to market validate the heck out of it to find out where all of the glitches are so you can build something great.
Awesome, Brian. I love it. Let's put everything into a summary here. What would you say is the most important thing in a business?
Obviously, it's you. You are that person. The ideas are 10 to a penny. You have ideas everywhere. If we just open our eyes during the day, we could find 500 ideas between getting out of bed in the morning and arriving home at the end of the day. The challenge is most of us don't look for those ideas. We're happy in a zombie state, getting out of bed on the same side every day, going through the same sequence of washing our teeth, going to the bathroom, having a shower, putting our shirt on, putting our underwear on, putting our top on. And that's a problem. So you, everybody listening, are the only necessary component to having a successful business. If you can start early enough, great. You've got more chances to find out what your perfect business is. If you start a little bit later, it's okay. You can still open your eyes and look for the biggest value proposition that you can possibly find, the biggest area of need that everybody else has out there. And then when you have that, you require one very important thing, and that is an unwavering decision to follow this through to what's required to make it successful. Everything else you can add in. You can bring the team in. You can build a great process. You can make sure that you have a product which is fit for market. But unless you're there right at the beginning in that space where you decide, I am going to be the one who makes this work, and I'm going to put in place every single right process and procedure to get there in the end, then it ain't going to happen.
So true, so true. Very good. Thanks for sharing that. Very right on point. Now, Brian, let's talk about purpose. I'd like to know what motivates and drives you. What gets you up in the morning, please?
So I've been an entrepreneur for, as I said, 30 years. And for many of those years, I was driven by greed, is a good word to use. I was driven by ego. I was driven by having nice things. I was driven by traveling, culture, seeing different places. You know, all on their own, maybe some of them not the nicest things in the world, but not terrible, right? I don't deserve to go to jail for any of these things. But they drove me and they gave me an enjoyable life. And then I arrived in California, after living in New York and lots of other places in the States, and I suddenly realized how unfair existence was for entrepreneurs. And that gave me my purpose, because I realized this was a fight that I could go into and I could go against absolutely everybody and I could win. And I could win because I have right on my side. And it's not about me being right. It's very different. Many of the philosophies that we have may not be right, but my motivation is right. And the motivation to focus on having more success within startups rather than having fewer startups with more success. Everybody buys into that. So now I'm part of a movement, and I'm part of a great movement, and I'm surrounding myself with people who are absolutely aligned with my vision, or should I say, I'm aligned with their vision and what they want to do. Startups flock to what we do because they feel that we have their back and that we care about the overall success and what happens to startups, which we do. We are a startup and always will be the case. And I wake up at 4 o'clock, maybe 4:15 every single morning. And I wish I could wake up 20 minutes or half an hour earlier because I enjoy my day so much.
Wow. Very cool. I love it. I applaud that very much. Very good. That's awesome. Awesome. And you guys are doing such a good job out there. Really good. And I truly invite everyone to go check out expertdojo.com. And now, Brian, we are close to wrapping up. Is there anything else you'd like our audience to know about? Maybe some parting thoughts or anything else?
You know, I'm always so outspoken with my thoughts from the beginning that it's very hard for me to save them to the end. And I really struggle with terms like live your dream and follow your passion and do your thing. I can only really emphasize how I feel every day. And that is that if you can just wake up and get out of what's been programmed into us and the only way that you can live your life. And if you're really realistic with the amount of work that you're prepared to put in to achieve what you need to do. And then you get the buy-in from all of the people around you who love you, which is really important because if you go on this journey alone, you will end this journey alone. So you get those people to buy in and you explain what's going to happen and you get them to be part of this journey with you. And then you set in motion an absolute desire to achieve it with all of the activities tied into the end. Then I encourage you to reach out to me in 3 years' time. And I promise you there won't be a single person who says, I wish I hadn't done that.
Wow. That's deep. That's strong. Wow. Very cool. Thank you. Well, thank you very, very much, Brian. Definitely.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. Great honor to have you on Revenue Chat. I want to thank you so much.
Thanks, Tony. That was great. And look, by the way, anybody who ever needs anything over at the dojo, they can always reach out to me. I'm very accessible. We got super nice people here. So even if somebody has an idea and they want to run it by us, don't need to worry about wasting our time or having to pay anything. Just reach out to Brian at Expert Dojo. Always happy to help.
Well, great. Once again, this is Brian McMahon, the CEO of Expert Dojo. And we were talking about build a real business from the ground up. His website is expertdojo.com. And if you guys follow that out there in the Revenue Crew audience, you will get all the help you need. It's extensive. All right. Well, thank you again. Thank you, Brian and everyone. Stay tuned to our next show on Revenue Chat. Our next episode is 109 with Brian E. Neal. Born and raised in Chicago, Brian grew up watching Will Smith in The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, which was the source of inspiration. While very active in sports all the way through college, he got into acting and has been doing print, runway, film, TV, and voiceover work ever since. And now, Brian tells us how to make it in the entertainment business on the next episode of Revenue Chat. All right, thanks again, everyone, and until next time, remember, you can make life better for yourself and everyone. Choose wisely.